ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। चास्य शुश्रुणो हरेर अवधूत खारमनः महात्म्यां भृत्य वृद्ध्यानं निस्पृहानं महात्मनं। Lord Shiva said, My dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, they are great souls, and they are not interested in any kind of material happiness. Narayana parasarve nakutashtana bhivyate swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulyarata darshanaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, they never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets, they are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. Dehinam dehasam yogad Vanvashvira Lilaya Sukam Dukam Rithir Janama Sapo Nukraha Evacha. Because of the actions of the Supreme Lord's external energy, the living entities are conditioned in contact with material bodies. The dualities of happiness and distress, birth and death, curses and favors, are natural byproducts of this contact in the material world. Avivekakrita pungso kyartha bheda ivatmani guna dhosa vikalpascha videva svajivatkrita. As one mistakenly considers a flower garland to be a snake, or he experiences happiness and distress in a dream, so in the material world, by a lack of careful consideration, we differentiate between happiness and distress, considering one good and the other bad. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhaktim Udvahatam Nirnam Jnana vairagya viryanam nahi kaschid vyapashrayaha. Persons engaged in devotional service to Lord Vasudev Krishna have naturally perfect knowledge and detachment from the material world. Therefore, such devotees are not interested in the so-called happiness or so-called distress of this world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshastakam, has prayed, Natanam Najanam Dasundarim Kavitam Bhajagadisha Kamaye Mamma Janamani Janamanishwari Bhavata Bhakti Rahaita Kitvai. My Lord, I do not want any amount of wealth. Although people of this world, they are struggling, straining, foaming at the mouth, working day and night, even willing to turn against their own brothers, their own fathers, their own friends and well-wishers, if it helps them to obtain wealth, fortune, Mahaprabhu says, I do not want any kind of wealth. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundaram. Nor do I want the pleasures of these senses, which people are so mad after. Nunam brahmatha kurite vikarma yat indriya pritya apranoti. That people become crazy, they become mad, trying to seek out some relief from the fire of material desires, trying to find some sort of sense gratification, which ultimately culminates in sex life, gross or subtle. Subtle means profit, adoration, and distinction. Mahaprabhu says, my lord, I do not approach you for these things. I have no concern for these things. Na janam, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamam. Nor do I want to be respected by others. Krishna says in Gita, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. Srila Prabhupada used to say that in this age of Kali Yuga, if someone even wrongly touches your hair, you're about to kill such a person. Wars are declared on a mere insult. Mahaprabhu says, I don't care anything for these things. Respectability, prestige. I do not even want followers, disciples. My Lord, I do not even want liberation, salvation. That means I do not even want you to free me from the sufferings of this world. Adiatmaka, adidaivaka, adibhautika. These three types of sufferings are always potentially upon everyone. You cannot escape. This world, it's inescapable. So why should we be so disturbed by the inevitable? Adiatmaka means sufferings caused by one's own body and mind. Mental frustration, anxiety, nervousness, disease. Adibhautika, miseries caused by other living beings. Misery is caused by atheists who accuse you and blaspheme you. Misery is caused by government officials who tax you and try to seize your wealth. Misery is caused by your husband or wife when they don't surrender to you. Misery is caused by your children when they don't surrender to you. Misery is caused by your parents when they don't surrender to you. Terrible when people don't surrender to us. Especially, even battles, attacks, wars. And this is only in human society. And there's also mosquitoes, snakes, cockroaches, birds. They go like all of us. The least expected moment. Misery is caused by other living beings. Cannot escape it. It is the nature of this world. And misery is caused by natural disturbances. Adidaivaka. Too much heat. Too much cold. Too much rain. Too much drought. Too much wind. Not enough wind. Cyclones. Earthquakes. To be freed from the sufferings of all these threefold miseries is called mukti, or liberation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I do not want liberation. I do not care for this either. My only desire is that I may be engaged in your loving service birth after birth after birth. And here is a beautiful story which illustrates a very great devotee from the Srimad Bhagavatam, who really had this quality. And he's being praised by the greatest of all devotees, Lord Shiva, Maharaj Chitraketu. Maharaj Chitraketu went through great, great trials, tribulations in the course of his purification. He was a king, and it was his great duty and responsibility to have a child, a son, who would be the prince, so that inevitably, when he has to retire, he could train someone to take over after him. Especially here in India, whether one is a king or a businessman or whatever, one is always hoping they will have some good son to take over what we have given our life to. We work so hard to develop an empire, and of course we want to hand it over to someone we love, someone who has the same cellular blood type as us, which means family members. So King Chitraketu, he was thinking like this. For so many generations, for countless decades and centuries, my forefathers have ruled this world, and now I am a king, and what will they all think of me if I don't even have someone to carry on the line? So he was very much disturbed. So Angira Muni, one great devotee of the Lord, he came to him once, and King Chitraketu was very pious, very, very religious. He washed the sage's feet, and he honored him with great prayers of love, and offered him all nice gifts, and bowed his head at the feet of this devotee, and then began to say nice words to him. And Angira Muni said, "My dear king, I can understand by looking at you that you are in great distress. Have you been defeated by enemies? Have you been insulted? Have you not given charity to someone in need? Why are you in such distress?" He said, "No, I am perfectly ruling the kingdom according to all religious principles, but I have no son." "Ah, you want son?" "Yes." "Then you will have son. But you should name this son Harshashok, which means he will give you great pleasure, but then he will also give you great distress." So King Chitraketu said, "Whatever distress, I don't mind, but just let me have my son." So in due course of time, although he had many, many wives, one of his wives gave birth to a little boy, beautiful little boy. And he was the life and soul of the father and life and soul of the mother. They just, their whole life revolved around just seeing the smile and hearing the laughter of this little boy, their baby. The more you long for something, the more when you get it, you become attached. Yehi samsparashaja bhoga dukha jonaya evate atyanta vanta konte anate shuramate gutha. The more you're attached to something, Krishna says, the more miserable you will be. Because it's temporary, it will not endure. So he was very attached. And everyone was so happy. The king has a son. There was festivals and glorifications, parties, and everyone was joyful, except the other wives. Whatever you do in this world, please know, anything you do will make some people happy and some people miserable and envious. If you don't like it, then get out of this world, because it's the nature. You cannot avoid it. Anything you do, you can please some of the people some of the time. You'll never please all the people all the time. One man's food is another man's poison. So what was food for one wife was poison for all the others. Why? She's getting all the attention now, and we are not. This is terrible. We must do something about this. So they plotted to kill the baby, and they fed it poison, and it died. To the degree Chitraketu Maharaj felt bliss in having this child, to that degree he suffered when it was dead. And when he saw this child, he was weeping, he was crying, he was falling to the ground unconscious, getting up, weeping, falling again to the ground unconscious, trying to look at the child, falling again to the ground unconscious. You can imagine. His whole life lost all light and all hope. And then Narada Muni and Angira Muni returned. Chitraketu Maharaj, what is wrong? He said, my son is dead. What do you mean, what is wrong? Well, I told you, Harsha Shoka, he will give you happiness and distress. But I didn't expect this type of distress. Well, what do you want? I want my son back. All right. Narada Muni said to the dead child, why you are causing your father such misery? Come back and tell us. And the son came back. He just sat up. Not only was he a baby, but he was a very learned baby. Now he could talk. Before he could not talk. Why you have done this to your father? My father? Huh? Which father? Which father do you mean? This man, he is not my father. I've had so many fathers. I've had millions. I've had 8,400,000 species of fathers. Which one do you want me to tell you about? You think this one is any more important than any of the others? By the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I was put in this body, and by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I have to go to another place now. It is by His will. He is my only Supreme Father, and I will follow His direction ultimately. And then he laid down, and again was dead. And Chitraketu, upon hearing his son, was thinking, I am in a great illusion. This boy, my son, has enlightened me. And from that moment, he surrendered to Krishna and became a great devotee. You see, this is the nature of this world. The worse things become, the more opportunity there is for enlightenment. The darkest moment comes before the dawn. The most auspicious time of the day is sunrise. Everyone knows that. The Brahma Muhurta hour is when the light first comes on the eastern horizon and the sun is just rising. Most auspicious. All the Brahmins are chanting their sandhya, their Gayatri mantra. All the Vaishnavas are having Mangal Aartis and chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. This is the supreme most spiritual time of the day. But what comes before it? A whole night of utter darkness. Huh? So therefore, a foolish materialistic person, when problems and troubles come into his life, he just thinks, why is this happening to me? What have I done? This is not fair. I'm going to fight. I'm going to somehow or other prove to Krishna that I don't deserve this. Huh? But a humble and sincere devotee thanks Krishna. Ah, Krishna. Tathena kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipagam ridvagvapur birvidam namaste jiveta ye mukta padesta dayavak. I deserve hundreds and millions of times worse. I'm a sinful person. You're just giving me a little bit. And why are you giving this little bit? So that I can turn to you as my only shelter. So I can be enlightened by understanding the nature of this world and find my refuge only in you. Whoever we are, there is danger at every step. Yesterday our devotees were driving in van. just happily thinking, oh, we are going to the temple. Very nice. And then in the next moment, they're turned over, rolling on the and all the windshields are broken, they're scratched up, laying on the ground. Krishna was showing them that I could have killed you. I just gave you a little sample. Just a little sample of what this world is. Huh? That at any moment, the least expected moment, everything that is near and dear to us could be finished. So why do we put so much faith? Why do we take these things so seriously? That is the illusion. Taking material life seriously means to suffer. A devotee takes Krishna consciousness seriously. In material life, he does the needful. The happiness, distress, he does his duty. Whatever happens, let it be. What do I care? Success, failure, honor, dishonor. What do we? Why even make a distinction between these things? Just do what you have to do. Do your seva and be happy with that. That is intelligence. So King Chitraketu became a great devotee of the Lord. Such a great, great surrendered soul. So at that point, he would think that he would be expecting, now I have surrendered to you, Krishna. Now I have become a great soul. Now you will be very nice to me. So one day he was traveling and he saw Lord Shiva giving a discourse to many, many sannyasis and brahmacharis and other sadhus. And he was preaching to them about the importance of detachment. And while he was speaking, his most beautiful, beautiful, charming wife, Parvati, was affectionately sitting on his lap, embracing him. Do not try to imitate Lord Shiva. If you can drink an ocean of poison like Lord Shiva did, then you can preach to sannyasis and brahmacharis about renunciation, having your wife sitting on your lap embracing you. But if you cannot drink the ocean of poison, better to sit and hear submissively from the sannyasis and brahmacharis. So, Chitraketu saw this and he thought, this is very funny. This is very funny. So he was not criticizing, but he was thinking this is too much humorous, and he started to laugh. He said, what kind of thing is this? Lord Shiva is preaching to all these vairagis with Parvati on his lap. Now, Parvati heard this, and she did not understand his intentions. She thought he was blaspheming her husband. And you know, it is the duty of a wife to always defend her husband, especially if he is living on the path of truth. If a husband is living according to the path of dharma, it is the wife's sacred duty to God to defend him and defend his reputation and assist him in every way. So Parvati, being the most chaste and faithful wife, she became very angry. Not only was she a chaste and faithful wife, but Lord Shiva was a great Vaishnava. And she considered that this was a blasphemy to a Vaishnava. So she spoke out, this Chitraketu, he's supposed to be such a king and such a devotee. He has no good qualities. He's blaspheming the greatest of all devotees who was flawless in character. I curse you to become a demon and go to hell. Now when some friend or brother or relative or curses us to become a demon and go to hell, we say Haribo.
But Parvati is the goddess of the whole material nature. She's Durga. When she says something, you have to take it quite seriously. It was a fact. So Chitraketu, upon hearing this curse, he became very humble. And he bowed at the lotus feet of Parvati and said, Mother, Mataji, actually, I never meant to insult your husband. I love him and have the highest respect. You did not understand my intentions or my heart. But on a higher level, it is the will of God that you have spoken the way you did to curse me to be a demon and go to hell, because nothing can happen without his sanction. So whether you have understood or not understood, Krishna understands my heart. And through the will of his providence, you are sending me to become a demon in hell. So now I am very happy and grateful, and I offer my obeisances to you. And with your permission, I will now go to hell and become a demon. Haribo. He was happy, grateful. And Lord Shiva, he was watching all this. And he understood that Lord Narayan is arranging this whole leela just to glorify the qualities of his devotee. Narayana para sarve nakutashchana bibhyate swarga pavarga narakeshi apitulya tadarshanaha. Just see these devotees of Narayan. What is their quality? They do not fear any condition of life. For them, heaven, liberation, or hell are all the same. For they are only interested in rendering service. And in any situation, we have service. Whatever our condition of life is, the real question is, how can I serve you, my Lord? Not how can I enjoy, how can I serve you, my Lord? So Chitraketu became a demon, Vritrasura. Terrible demon. He was the king of the demons. He was enormous, like a mountain, terribly fearful features. And he was conquering all directions. But in his heart, he knew that this is the will of the Lord. He wants me to do like this. I will become very much unpopular amongst everybody. But if this is what Krishna wants me to do, I will do. And ultimately, even in that form, he was preaching, even to the King of Heaven, Indra, what it means to be a devotee. And he went back to Godhead. After rendering the service of being a demon for some time, he went back to Godhead. And his prayers in the form of a demon are some of the most celebrated and popular prayers in all of the Bhagavatam. So a devotee, any situation of life, he's grateful for the opportunity to serve. This is Krishna consciousness. Why should we become so caught up in this illusory energy? Why should we take it so seriously? It is all like a mirage in a desert. It has no substance. I'll give an example. In the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, Krishna explains that there is a banyan tree. And this banyan tree is not like any other banyan tree, because it has its roots upward and its branches downward. What he's talking about is a banyan tree that is being reflected on a lake of water. There is a real banyan tree, But its reflection on the water, everything is upside down. Huh? What is that reflection of water? The acharyas explain that that reflection of water represents our material desires. Because of material attachment, the real substance of spiritual life appears to us completely upside down as a perverted reflection. And this banyan tree is full of problems, full of difficulties. Adiatmaka, adidaivaka, adibhautika. And the nature of a banyan tree is it has so many trunks and so many roots and so many everything going up and down and up and down that nobody can trace out where is the beginning and where is the end. Huh? You have seen banyan trees. So many branches are going into the ground, out of the ground, into the ground, out of the ground. Where has it begun? And the nature of a banyan tree is, if you cut one of the branches, what happens? It grows back stronger than it was before. This is a secret of gardening. A good gardening knows that if you want trees to grow properly, you have to prune them. Prune means you cut them. You cut all the branches. And when you cut them, they grow faster and stronger than ever before. So there's so many problems in this world. They are like the multifarious branches of this banyan tree, and we're trying so hard to cut these branches, trying to get out of this mess. And every time we cut the branches, it grows stronger than it ever was before. Krishna explains that this is the comparison of material life. Therefore, Krishna explains you have to do two things. You have to go right to the root. You have to cut the root. Forget the branches. Go right to the root. That means detach yourself from all this nonsense. And at the same time, keep your mind fixed on the real banyan tree. Cutting the root means detaching yourself from the whole illusion of this reflection and keep your mind attached to the real tree, which is the spiritual world. When we chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, we are fixing our minds on the real existence, the real substance of life and bliss, the spiritual world, Krishna. By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, Tani Saravani Samyam Ya Yukta Asita Matpara, Vasehi Asyandriyani Tasya Pragya Pratishtata. Krishna says in Gita that one must simultaneously tolerate the urges of the senses, restrain the senses from their objects, and fix consciousness on me. 15th chapter, Krishna gives a practical example. Fix your mind on the real tree, Krishna, and go right to the root, cut the root by detaching yourself from this illusory energy. In Ram Leela, we have found Ram fighting the great demon Asura, Ravana. Ravana had 10 heads. Huh? And those heads were just full of poison. How much misery and suffering they caused to all devotees, Brahmins, and people in general. So during the battle between Ram and Ravana, Ram took his arrows and shot and cut one of the heads off. And then what happened? Another head grew back. And he took his... Another head grew. And every time he'd cut all 10 of the heads. They all came back. Ram was, what is the use? And the heads, they come back. Whatever you do, That is the nature of material life. This demoniac energy, internally and externally. We're trying to solve the problem by just cutting off the apparent problems. But what happens? It grows right back. It's like at the Taj Mahal Hotel now. There is a big conference on AIDS. A couple years ago, there was a conference on cancer. A couple years ago, on tuberculosis. A couple years ago, on smallpox. Huh? What to do? Smallpox is such a terrible problem. Millions of dollars, millions of manpower hours. We found the solution. No more smallpox. Cholera. Well, we're making progress. So now let's tackle this one. So much money, so much energy. We cured cholera. It's dead. Rabies. People are dying of rabies. So we make some injection. Progress. It's finished. And then cancer. Tuberculosis. Tuberculosis was a terrible disease. Then they found the serum to immune people from tuberculosis and cure them. Such great progress. We killed another demon. Then cancer. And they're just starting to make some progress in understanding what cancer is, and AIDS. Now, what do you think will happen if, by the great creative genius of man, we cure AIDS? What do you think will happen? Something worse. Every disease is progressively worse. Are they not? The banyan tree. Cut a branch, it grows stronger. Another one comes. The United Nations, Srila Prabhupada would explain, like so many dogs barking at each other. Unless they understand this, the root cause of their problems, that they all think that this land is mine. As long as I'm an American, I'm an Indian, I'm a Pakistani, I'm a Russian, I'm a Nigerian, I'm a Australian, I'm a dog or a cat or a hog or a monkey. As long as we're thinking we are this body and those things in relation to this body are mine, then there's going to be conflict and war. The law of economics is that there's only a limited amount of resources, and every human being has unlimited desire to enjoy. So how can there ever be peace? We have to go right to the root of the illusion and establish Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. Otherwise, every time we try to solve the problem, it becomes worse. Something else. So here was Ram, just shooting off the heads of Ravana, one after another, after another, after another. They were falling to the ground, and they keep rolling back. And then Vibhishan told him, Ram, not like this. You cannot kill a demon by cutting off his heads one after the other. You have to go right to his heart. You have to shoot that arrow right in the center of his heart. And then Sri Ramchandra shot that arrow in the heart of Ravana, and he and all of his 10 heads fell to the ground vomiting blood. And all the devotees, the sadhus, the demigods, everyone started showering flowers, singing, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. So why should we take so seriously the foolish problems of this world? We should take seriously going to the heart of the problem. Going to the root of the problem. That means we have to detach ourselves from being so much elated and disturbed by the illusory manifestations, and we have to keep our mind fixed on Krishna. aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti mat bhava jante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna says that one, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. Krishna says in Gita, Namam upetya konteya, that people who have good intelligence, who are wise and devotional, they make their only goal the spiritual world. They make their only goal my lotus feet. They put no faith or trust in any of the things of this world, because there's danger at every step. They only put their faith and trust in my holy name and in those devotees who are surrendered to my lotus feet. Trust them, Krishna says. Everyone else, show your all respects, compassion, but how can you trust? They are all representatives of this illusion. And this, from this trust in Krishna, comes love for all living beings. Love, compassion, tolerance toward all living beings. We see that people who are attached to material ways of life, it is just foolish childishness. Why should we be so disturbed by them? We should just pray for them and try to help them. Why should we get caught up in all of their craziness? We should be their well-wisher, their friend. This is Krishna consciousness. And of course, Krishna has made it so easy. How to always keep our minds fixed on Him? How to always keep our mind immune from material world? By sincerely associating with the Lord's devotees. By making our service to the Lord our priority and our aim. And by chanting His holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has prayed that, my Lord, I have seen and I have considered this whole world. And my conclusion is that without your holy name, there's nothing that can save me. To take shelter of the holy name is the true aim of this human form of life. And whatever situation we are in, don't see it by its face value. Just see it as an opportunity to deepen our attention in taking shelter of the holy name. See everything positive. Everything is positive. Everything is a benediction of God. If you just look at things with a grateful heart. Every situation is the perfect arrangement to take shelter of Krishna's name. And in the name, all the power, all the glory, all the opulence of the Lord is manifested to give us other shelter, other hope in eternal life. So let us chant the holy names with great enthusiasm and with great attention. And let us make this our concentrated target in life. Harinam Sankirtan. Whatever our occupation, whatever our duties, whatever may be coming into our life, let us orchestrate everything in such a way that day by day our love and our feelings toward Krishna and his devotees are increasing. And our serious seeking of the refuge of the holy name is becoming deeper and deeper. This should be the first priority of our life, and we should organize our families, our occupations, our whole life around this principle.